All right, it's the Operation Mutual Defense Advisory Board meeting for November 29th at 11 o'clock Mountain Time. as far as opening this up, I just want to make everybody aware that after today, I will be full-time in Oregon working on that deal, and so my my time to put into OMD things is going to be very constrained. I will do my best to make the meetings on Sundays, but if I'm already disposed in the field for some reason, then obviously that's going to take precedence. Other than that, I think there's quite a few issues that are popping up. So if there's anything new that anybody's aware of, then feel free to pass it on as much as I can in between whatever my duties are on the ground out there in Oregon. I'll try to maintain, stay apprised of the situation elsewhere and in my free time put in some work on whatever needs to be done. And what's next on that list there, Dennis?
Well, Hammond thing, you know, I talked with you about it, but I think, do we want to reaffirm that OMD is not a part of the Hammond operation, or do we want to discuss that at all, or we just continue where we were when we last voted, what?
Well, I'd like an update, if nothing else, if we have that opportunity.
The update is going to, it essentially is where it was at. The sheriff, we now know, is passing information on all of the Hammond supporters that he's received emails from, and my assumption is that they're going to correlate that with public presentation to find out who would respond. We haven't heard of them openly looking up into anybody yet, but we just know that the sheriff has has essentially decided which side he's on, and is actively working with the other side. Now, there we're moving forward on some of the other arguments. With, as far as Oregon state law, there is a statute that outlines that force may be used in defense of another individual. As long as an unlawful act of force is being committed upon them. So correlating that, I have a couple of attorneys working on putting that together with the lack of authority of the federal government in this matter, so that you know, the defense will be justified. At this point, the basic course of action is to get over there, establish a quick reaction force and an overwatch of the ranch and of the house. The house is going to be a lot more difficult because it's in town, whereas outside of town, it's going to, the only difficulty is going to be that it's below zero at nighttime and barely reaching into the 30s during the day. So it's going to be a pretty ugly surveillance situation. But they're in town. There's a few good places, so we should be able to make it happen. Establish a quick reaction for if the overwatches happen to see them coming in as they threaten to do, to arrest them early if they requested assistance or were working with anybody. Oh, sorry about that. What's that?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. And then beyond that, we're going to be doing, we have a flyer campaign that's going to be going on after we reach the public sentiment for a couple days. That's going to be happening this week, just to see where people are at and if we can target specific areas which are more supportive of the issue. We have a flyer made up, which we will be going, there's a few of us that are going to be going door to door and putting them in mailboxes and such. And the idea is going to be to get a public meeting together. And at that public meeting, let, you know, some of the people who are educated on the issues present that to the people of the county. We already know that there's quite a bit of a good sentiment about the county concerning the Hammonds issue, so I don't think that it should be difficult to get that meeting together. And at that meeting, we have a couple of resolutions that we're going to present to them, which they will, the idea is to have them occupy the county board meeting in a couple of weeks and present these resolutions to the county board, which will require the sheriff to act in defense of the Hammonds. And so given this, we'll have three things happening. We'll have a movement of the people to demand of their representatives and their law enforcement that they act. And then we will have either we'll either have movement from the representatives, or we'll have a denial of their duty from the representatives, and the same thing for the sheriff. Once he's urged by the county board to take action, then he's really going to have to dig his feet in to not uphold that. So that's the idea, is to get the people, a movement of the people started up there, and get them to start exerting pressure on their elected officials, and which will basically culminate in whatever happens. The idea is to have all of this done a week before January 4th and put all of our faith and strength in each one of these endeavors, and then that gives us a week before the 4th to determine, with all the people that are on the ground and anybody who wants to be involved, what the specific course of action is going to be then, and I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of conversation on the ground with people that are involved as to how that's going to look. That's basically where it sits.
What's the Hammonds' position? Is it still the same? They're not interested in support or allowing access to their property?
The Hammonds are incommunicado. They are in fear for their lives and for they specifically stated Ammon Bundy's life, and Ammon has told me that they actually expressed fear for everyone that was sitting at the table with them's life. So at this point, they are silent out of fear for their lives, and they are not going to talk to anybody. We are trying to get we have some efforts that are already starting up. Myself and a few other individuals working with the Patriots Network to get a hay truck out there to help them out of 800 tons that they need to make it through the winter. They have 160 tons, so... that's a little bit of a humanitarian effort going on, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but, you know, if we're able to line up a truck full of hay for the Hammonds, then one of us can go out there and greet them with the hay.
Has Oath Keepers opened their mouths in the last week or so?
I had a couple of people reach out to Stewart, and people that are generally... that are Oath Keepers guys who would generally say to me, if you need me, then give me a call. Stewart is basically keeping his nose out of it. It sounds like he's trying to distance himself from a lot of things. He's kind of holed up in his cabin up there in Kalispell, which he doesn't have cell phone service, and he's kind of just stepped off out of everything for a little bit here. Now, but one thing that... what was related to me was that his direct people up there, Oath Keepers guys who are right around him, they have said that if and when this thing with the Hammonds goes into a situation where, you know, a tactical response is required, that they will be responding.
To the sheriff's side, as they said in the meeting, or to Hammond's side?
No, to the Hammonds side.
So they've changed their position in supporting the sheriff.
That's the Oath Keepers. This is not a Pacific Patriots Network. Pacific Oath Keepers is actually trying to put a little bit of distance between themselves and PPN.
Oh, okay. So there's a little division in their ranks right now.
Yes. And also there are, you know, within PPN, there's been some obvious information digging into us and some of the connections that I have, some of the networking. They're starting to realize that a lot of their people also have relationships with me, and I don't know if they like that or not, but, well, I don't really care. And then some of their folks have agreed that once we hit the ground out there, they're close enough they want to come sit down and talk and figure out, basically what the idea is moving forward, because quite honestly, it seems like Ammon and myself are the only ones who have a cohesive plan to move forward. And Ammon wants to see unity between everybody on it, but as long as their balls don't drop, then they're not going to feel comfortable moving forward on a brazen plan of action.
So that raises the question of OMD's relationship with this whole thing, and so any ideas on that, anybody?
Same as before.
So unless things change drastically and Ryan reports back with something that would move OMD to participate, we're keeping our distance from it.
I'm willing to see about the plan when the time comes and make a decision then. So I'd like at least to have Ryan brief OMD and give us an opportunity to take a second bite out of it.
So that's what I'm suggesting, that at this point where we were last, 2 weeks ago, however, if things change and Ryan continues to report, OMD may jump in if circumstances warrant it.
Well, as far as it goes, I can tell you now that the Hammonds are not going to make a request. And, you know, the mom and dad, Susie and Dwight have said that they would surely come out in support of any type of action. But we have no such guarantee from Stephen, so basically the decision is based on that, right, is that we don't know whether Stephen would come out against it. I don't mind updating you. At some point, I'm not going to be talking about any of it on the phone, so
cool.
I won't be able to update you that much.
What I'm thinking about, though, is if the government decides to act against the Patriots that have gathered in Burns and in the surrounding area, make a preemptive attack. I mean, that might be something that I would think, perhaps, depending on all the circumstances, that OMD might jump in. In defense of the Hammonds, but in defense of the Patriots.
Yeah, if something goes down and it turns into an us or them situation, then absolutely we need to jump in at that point. Because then we're not defending the Hammonds, we're defending Americans that are being fired upon.
Yeah.
So maybe we should keep something like or get something like that in the works as well, though. Yes.
So then we need is everybody in agreement with that, that if circumstances change and our defense is not of the Hammonds, that it might be something that OMD would jump in on, and then we need Ryan to keep us apprised of the circumstances on the ground, the actions of the feds and things like that, to the extent that he can comfortably do so on the phone, that we would consider.
That's my position since the start, yeah, because I think this could go a lot of ways, and I think we just need to stay on it.
All in favor?
Aye. Yep.
Aye.
Yep.
Ryan? You okay with that?
I abstain. So as far as that goes, then you guys want to be kept in the loop on the Hammond situation enough to make a determination as to whether or not there will be an OMD alert to support the people that gather to defend the Hammonds, but not to defend the Hammonds. Am I correct?
I think that's where we're going, yeah.
Okay.
If the Patriots that have gathered in Burns and the surrounding area in defense of the Hammonds are attacked by the government, we're not defending the Hammonds, we're defending the Patriots who are defending the Hammonds. I know there's a stretch there, but that I think that it makes a big difference to me, and I think to the other members of the board, that if
the
purpose of the Patriots.
When we're dead or in prison, then we'll issue an alert. Got it.
Well, if you want to look
okay.
at
wow.
it.
I would say, you know, I'm ready to move on to the next issue.
Okay.
Unless anybody has anything further.
Well, are you going to keep us surprised, or are you just going to?
I will, yes.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what would kick it off. You know, if they move, troops in facing you, not the Hammonds. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, Ryan. You don't either. And that's
no.
The whole thing is, if they're the provocateurs, if they become the provocateurs in this against Patriots, then there's a cause for OMD.
Well, you see, I'm already going out on a limb by even talking about it on an open line of communication in the first place, because of the threat that they have, that if they feel that anybody's going to become involved, that they're going to arrest them early. See, so the idea is get in there and gather whether or not we can even get a public uprising of the people within that county, and basically try to be undetected in doing so. You know, this idea has not been thrown around very much. There's not a whole lot of people that are completely aware of it. And there's not a whole lot of people that we're asking to come at this moment. Only people that are going to be effective in that first part course of action, and also just enough people to prevent them being arrested if they do decide to come in and get them early. So, you know, I'm open.
Well, you're bringing two other elements in, too. You're trying to get the state legislature involved, which is, if they get involved and would like the support, and the county board. You know, there's a number of irons in the fire right now that could change the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And
it's a multifaceted approach. You know, we're trying to hit it from a bunch of different angles.
And that's the point. If the nature of the ground changes, that it could be something where we're not going where we're not wanted. We're going where we're wanted, and somebody other than the Hammonds has sought help.
Right.
Whether it be the Patriots because the government surrounded them and threatening to arrest them, whether the county takes a position, whether the state takes a position, any one of those three could be elements that would change the nature where our defense was not of the Hammonds, it was of the county, the state, or the Patriots.
Right.
And you'll see movement on the ground before there's any action. So, you know, when they bring in the National Guard or anything, then, you know, those are the indicators something's going to happen. They're not going to just swoop down and do something. They haven't yet. Waco took a while to build up. Everything they do takes a while. They build up. They get everything. Like the cautious general, what was his name, Meade at Washington, you know, he wanted to train and get more troops. And the government still plays that game.
They're not going to come. I don't quite honestly think that they're going to swoop on us anyway. I think that what they're going to do is they're going to provoke us in the statement that we will not be allowing the Hammonds to be arrested. And so then I think they'll try to take advantage of any action along that avenue.
And that's where we'd need to know as much as you could convey on the phone of the circumstances and make that decision. Since we don't know how this is going to play out, we're going to keep our ears open.
Right.
And it's not going to be wait until you're dead or in jail, necessarily. If they swoop down, that could be the circumstance. But I don't think they'll swoop down. You don't either.
Well, the difficulty is, and I think that there's maybe, you know, a lack of understanding of this, but being on the ground and we're going to have a small group at first, you know, and so there's going to be spread pretty thin as far as completing all of the tasks that need to be completed. There's not a whole lot of time to get on the phone and start making phone calls when things start happening. It's grab your shit, get in the truck, or start running and get over there and do what needs to be done. And as much as I'd like to say that I'll be able to let you guys know, I mean, I will do my best. I'll do my best.
Well, that's all we're asking.
A lot of things are reactive on that end. You know, here's what happened. Here's the situation. And it's either me making a phone call because I can, saying here's the situation, or you finding about it on 10 o'clock news.
Well, that all we're asking is, you know, that to the extent that you're able to apprise us of what's happening there.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, the item I asked to be put on the agenda was Ritzheimer's trip. You probably all read enough about it, and the press has gone crazy with it based on what Islamic Post said, calling John American Taliban, not John Lynn, but John Ritzheimer. And I'm working on an article now that will be clear the air on that. John made no threats. I've got the videos that they allege were threatening in their nature, and their threats against him were far greater than any implied threat that he might have had. His was totally defensive. And so just, I mean, John can talk to this too, but I've been looking into it, and I've got all the pieces, or nearly all the pieces, to put the story together. I hope to have it out by tomorrow. But
it's really a non-issue. It's just the press went freaking nuts over nothing. And I mean, I did travel out there to the East Coast. I made my cross-country trip and just made a road trip out of it and had fun. But again, I made no threats and everything. I can't believe what happened with the media. And what happened was the Islamberg is also in bed with Muslims of America. Islamberg is the one of the training camps in New York that they have footage of them, like, marching in formation with AK-47s and everything. And that's one of the places that's one of the addresses that came up with Muslims of America. So I was going there and to the headquarters of that Islamic Post. And I was just going to confront them.
They're headquartered there at Islamabad.
Yeah. Well, it's actually Hancock, New York, but yeah, they're trying to rename it to Islamberg, but I think it's an unofficial title. It's only got that title in the land that they own, and they keep buying more land and spreading. But anyways, yeah, so I made a video and showing that I was heading out that way and I was going to confront them. But before I could even get there, by the time I got into Pennsylvania, I got a three-way phone call from FBI and New York State Troopers. They said that I can't come into New York. I said, okay, why? And they said, because you have a handgun. I said, okay, so what if I surrender the handgun to you at the state line and you guys escort me across? And they said, nope. I said, okay, so what if I leave my handgun in Pennsylvania with a friend and then come in there? They said, nope, we're still going to detain you and search the vehicle because we've seen the video with you with a gun. So basically they're letting me know that they were going, no matter what, they were going to violate my rights. And they were, the FBI was actually really cool on the phone. It was the New York troopers that were dicks. And I even got apology emails from them, apologizing for the way that the New York troopers acted on the phone and everything. But once that went down, I got off the phone. I had told them that I would maintain contact and keep posted on where I was because I'm not planning on doing anything stupid. So then after I read the New York state law, and you literally cannot drive through that state, even if you're driving through, even if it's unloaded and in a locked box or anything, you cannot have a handgun in that state. So it was making it impossible for me to make it to my destination, which was New Hampshire, not even Islamberg. So I let them know that I'm going to break contact with them and that I need to do what I need to do. And I shut my phone off. I pulled enough cash out from the ATM so they couldn't track my ATM purchases or money withdrawals, and we finished our trek from Pennsylvania, and instead of heading north, we went down to the southernmost tip through the cover of darkness at night, and once we got into Connecticut, we were able to turn our phones back on and probably pop back up on the radar. So they were shitting bricks for a couple of days there, and the media is just now catching wind of it. But I was no threat to anybody, so it's just the media making drama out of nothing.
It appears that by some of the articles, though, it appears that the state police spent the next couple of days searching all over New York trying to find John Retzheimer, which is...
sounds like the FBI being friendly with you. And when did the meeting at your house occur? That was a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
That was one meeting. I just had a meeting the other day on Wednesday, the day before Turkey Day. They came over to my house, and they were really cool. They were just like, let me know that they don't want to see anything bad happen to me. You know, they're like, You got a wife and kids, man. They're like, you've already made a name for yourself. You don't have to, you can just, you know, you don't need to keep skylining yourself or whatever. You know, they're trying to talk me down a bit, but again, none of us are doing this for fame or fortune. We're doing what's right.
Well, that's also a pretty good technique for, you know, getting to seem like they're on your side, getting you talking. And then, you know, as long as you're talking, a lot of times people don't pay very particular attention to some of the things that they say, which the guy on the other side who's looking for information, you say something you don't think is information, and for him it's exactly what he wanted.
Right. Well, I don't think I gave him really anything. I try to be – I'm fully aware of that, and I don't trust him. I trust him as far as I can throw a rock, so – that's why I recorded the whole thing with a GoPro and with a recorder. So it should work out okay. The only thing that came that I was able to get out from them is they tried getting stuff out of me when I told them that, you know, or I asked their opinion about the Hammond issue up there, and they're aware of it and everything. And then they're like, what about you? And I was like, oh, well, I got friends up there just monitoring the situation and trying to get things on the right path. And he's like, oh, yeah, who's that? And I was like, I'm just not going to tell you. They're nobody's names. I'm not doing any name dropping. And then Deathridge and Paris Frazier came into the mix. And the agent that actually had been stalking them or set up the sting for them, he explained why. What's that?
I like your use of the term stalking to describe what they do.
Well, that's what was happening. But I guess, Paris had bigger plans for something else that was not good, and that's why they set up this sting and took them down the way they took them down. So, again, just as long as we're staying the noble path and the righteous path and remain good people and not doing stupid shit, and I don't see there being an issue. And I'm cooperative with the FBI. I'm no informant, and I'm just a give respect, get respect kind of guy. The second that they disrespected me, even like on the phone, or the second that they, you know, were letting me know my rights were going to be violated, that was when I cut communication with them.
Sure. So do you feel, basically we're apprised of your situation. Is there anything you feel that you need from us? I mean, you know, you're safe. You obviously feel safe and such.
No, I'm good. I'm safe. There's nothing crazy taking place. So it's, you know, I guess it was more just brought up to make sure everybody else is aware of the situation and just know that FBI is not tracking me or trailing me. So.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff where on Facebook people are posting that they're hunting you down and stuff. It's just a bunch of ridiculous stuff.
Well, I was just in New York.
Yeah.
That's the funny part. I wonder how much you spend on it. Of taxpayers' money trying to find somebody that wasn't there.
Right, right. Now, you know, I don't know, you know, the public sentiment is what it is. In my conversations with people directly, there's pretty much either lack of knowledge of who you are until I mentioned the guy that's doing the protests in Phoenix against the mosques, and then they kind of have an idea, but other than that, there's nobody has any foul feeling towards it.
I'm surprised how many, I mean, I get a lot of negative feedback from the Patriots, from a lot of the Patriots, well, people that appear to be Patriots, but they just keep drinking the Kool-Aid the media feeds them, and it's kind of, yeah, it's definitely demotivating reading a lot of the BS out there, but it's what it is.
Well, that's what I mean by the public sentiment. You know, if you're seeing that stuff on social media, a lot of that is targeted. That's people who are put out there purposely to do that. The other part of that is it's the same crap, and I argue against it all the time, John, which is people within the Patriot community putting other Patriots down, and it needs to what we say to each other behind closed doors or in private conversation is what it is, but people really need to stop bashing Patriots if they consider themselves to be one.
Well, the government's admitted 30,000 people they've hired on the internet to do such attacks.
Exactly.
Foment division.
I got nervous. I thought Tim unfriended me. I was like, oh, shit, I hope he didn't buy into it.
No, that's Facebook. They don't like my name, so I had to send them a copy of my fucking driver's license.
Yep, they did that to me, too. I used to go by Scrappy.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting for them to A-OK my identification. But, I was amazed that the FBI said I was a good guy because they called me before the Tucson mosque protests. And I was telling them about the 60 Muslim males I got fucking 2.5-3 miles south of me that are posted up for the past 10 months. They didn't even care. They asked me, do you know any of the groups that are going up there? I said, no, I'm not. I'm looking south, dude. You need to find somebody else who's looking north because I'm not looking north and I'm not your fucking snitch. I said, so if you want to know about the Muslims that are south of the border, feel free to contact me.
Which was telling you how much they give a crap.
Yeah. But so I even posted, I was out in the field for 10 days, and in that 10 days I did 4 television interviews, 4 radio interviews, and a newspaper interview, and the newspaper was the only one who put in there that I've been telling the FBI for at least the past year about the Muslims south of the border, and they won't listen. I was going, all right, well, maybe I'll get a phone call again from them. And that was in the Washington Post.
Wow.
Yeah. I did Fox National, actually, Tuesday morning. I'm going to be in Tucson. I'm going live with Fox and Friends in the morning. They have 2 million viewers, and they want to do a 5-minute segment with me about the border. I mean, there's shit happening. I mean, let's see, when I came out of the field, 4 nights in a row, just nothing but gunfire on the other side. And on Tuesday, before I came out, 9 mile marker 9.5 from the border, there was a roadside fire. All the power went out down here and everything else. Well, they found a body, and I found out through some of my contacts that the body had a wire wrapped around it. Then they tied it to the cell phone, and they threw the cell phone up over the top of the fucking power lines. And so that was a message by whoever's over there right now cleaning the house and fucking taking control that don't fuck with our shit on this side. And so one of my reporter friends called Pima County, and the sheriff's going, yes, there was a body there, and yes, it was an illegal migrant, whatever, and but it seems he was trying to charge his cell phone. And it's like, really? So the fucking guy climbed 30 feet up a telephone pole with no spikes or anything else and decided to hook two wires to a fucking high voltage line. So, yeah, okay.
Right, but, yeah.
Crossboard.
Hey Tim, while we're on it too, do you happen to have a gear list? Because I still and Ryan, are you still planning on coming down?
He's gonna
no.
From what I gather, he's still gonna be. He'll be up in Oregon.
Yeah, I'm in Oregon until starting. Well, I move out tomorrow, early this morning actually, early tomorrow morning, and start heading that direction, and I'll be there until there's. It looks like there's going to be no movement, or until we succeed in what we're set out to do.
Yep.
Okay.
And I can understand.
Tim, I would still like to come down there. I would still like to come down there in December if you're going to be down that way still.
Yep. I live here, so yeah, I'm going to be down this way.
Okay.
you have yeah, another interest.
Like a recommend. Do you have a recommended gear list at all?
Pretty much all you got to have is, I mean, whatever you normally carry on a plate carrier, minus the plates. We don't run plates down here. The altitude and the mountains are too freaking brutal for that. We had two guys come in on the op. They lasted 12 hours, and they turned around and got back in their truck and drove back to Kansas and Missouri. They weren't even ready for this.
They're probably rocking those AR-500 plates that are heavy as hell. I went ahead and dropped the money on the Gladiator Protective, and my plates are nice. They're still level 3, and they each plate weighs 3 pounds.
Yeah, I got those too, and I've dumped those myself. I won't even wear those.
Yeah, and quite honestly, on LRS missions over in Iraq, we never once took body armor with us. I mean, you're really hoping to get caught is the goal.
Yeah. But, basically, if you got a plate carrier or whatever you carry on it, then either an AR or 12 gauge and a sidearm, that's about it.
Okay.
Are
you going out and conducting missions like at night and then coming back? I mean, I'll still bring sleeping bag and everything, but you're going back to nighttime? Or, I mean, in morning? Or
yeah. No, we'll come back here because usually what happens after I do these 10-day ops, I go back out and I'll set out the trail cameras on spots that I know are hot, and then I monitor the radio traffic when I'm going out and coming back in. I check the trail cameras, and then I check a couple other trails to see, because I've only got 6 cameras, so I put them on what I think is the best. I go out and check them, and then put new batteries in them and shit like that. But when I'm down to 1 or 2, it's all pretty much daylight, especially in the wintertime, because holy shit, it got down here in the valley. We consider this the valley where I'm at. It's at 3,800 feet, and everything else around us goes up to 5,600 feet. And my house last night, it was 29 degrees, and I'm a lizard. I'm not a freaking walrus or anything else. I love the heat. If I don't have to be out in the cold, fuck it, I don't want to be in the cold.
Yeah, I hear that.
Oh man, yeah, I'm not looking forward to sitting out on OPs for in negative temperatures, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then just for clarity, Tim, after whatever's going to happen in Oregon is wrapped up, I'm going to get back here and get a little bit of cash flow going, which will take me a few weeks, and then I fully intend on picking up exactly where we left off, heading down your way and getting things hashed out as far as a training program and such.
Right. Well, door's always open for anybody from OMD there. I think in a week, possibly 2 weeks, I have the lady who's running against John McCain and the lady who's running against Raul Grijalva. They're coming down. They want a tour of what the border really looks like and what the border's really like. Kelly Ward is running against John McCain, and from the last poll I saw, she's beating him right now. And I'm trying to get the lady who's going against Raul Grijalva more in the limelight, but, you know, it's tough to do that when you have Facebook patriots.
Right.
But, so I got politicians or future politicians coming down, and I think that might be a good thing, you know, because if they see we're doing it the right way, and maybe if I can get John, the agents that said we're good guys, to give them a call and say, yeah, they're good, then that'll work in our favor.
Yeah.
I'm in talks right now with some people from NASCAR, and because those are good old boys. The guy wants to put Arizona Border Recon's logo and website on a couple of NASCARs. And he's trying to push us to the rest of the owners of the NASCAR teams out there to try to help start funding this to turn it into something bigger where we can actually secure the freaking border.
Right.
So I've been busier than hell with... Yeah. He asked what my biggest thing need was right now, and I go, land. And then...
Land with fences on it.
Well, the land I am getting has a 13-foot-high pipe fence at the end of it. It butts right up to the fucking border.
Yeah.
So, I told him I already know a piece of land that's up for sale. It has approximately 37 bedrooms, 2 dining halls, a kitchen, corrals, everything else. And he asked how much. I told him $1.4 million. He goes, okay, I think we can do that. And I said, all right. And he said, just send me the specifics on it. I said, okay. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll be the proud owners of a 1,200-acre ranch here real soon. We could turn that into a training facility.
That'd
be sweet.
Yep.
And so that's shit I've been busting my ass on between doing the op. We shut 6 miles of border with 16 guys for a week straight. Nothing came through. Border Patrol didn't even bother coming that way, nobody. And then when we looked to the west where we had pushed them into the lower flatlands that they don't like to go, that's where we saw the Border Patrol and the Omaha helicopters and everybody. They were just picking the shit off out of them, trying to come through there. But it's doable. It's not that hard. It's just, you know, takes 2 things, money and bodies.
Yep.
So, but.
Speaking of money, any progress on BTFA?
Not with me. No, I've been out of town for the last week.
Ryan, what about that guy that's interested? Is he still interested?
Yeah, they're still interested. I passed that information along to John, so whenever you
yeah,
want to.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Okay.
Well, anything else?
Melissa Deagle. I still have some of the things to review on her deal, but at this point, I'm going to say I'm. I don't know. I just don't. I'm unwilling to make a medical determination, and as much as I feel the illegitimacy of of what the Child Protective Services is doing down there, or whoever it is that's doing it. But, I don't know how we go about that and garner enough support to make it happen. Because
I was, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Should we drop it? Or?
No, give me a little more time. I did tell her I would get back to her. So I'll finish up my research and then I'll have put together something for you guys to look over out of what I come up with. A lot of what she sent over was not information directly pertaining to her case even. It was other cases and other people's opinions of different cases and things that are going on. So she's really just, it's hard to gauge whether she's trying to do that in order to highlight that she's not making stuff up, or if she's doing that to try to garner support for herself. I don't know, quite honestly, what the reason was for that. But, we specifically asked for information regarding her, the case with her children, which she did send over some, not a whole lot more, quite honestly, than what we already have. So, but I still have other things to go through, and I want to at least offer her that due diligence before I bring it to you guys for a decision.
Okay. I have a question. If people bring cases, I guess that's what you would call it, cases or incidents, say to me, who do I turn it over to? Does that go to you, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously you can help take some of that weight off
right.
One guy looking
yeah.
into it, but basically I think that's my task, is essentially to look into all of the facts.
Okay, I had a lady from Oklahoma, and she's pretty much almost saying the same thing that this lady is, except for there's no the proxy syndrome. Yeah. She says CPS is snatching kids left and right in this one town in Oklahoma. The city council is also on board with it, and so is the town police department. And when anybody tries to do anything, the police department starts harassing them, pulling them over all the time. She's, from what I understand, she's had a couple of her kids taken, and she's so, because she keeps bringing it to light, she's actually packed up and moved into Texas and is staying with friends to get away from there while she's trying to bring more attention to what's happening in that town.
Hmm. One thing I found out back in the 90s is quite often when especially single mothers are receiving money from the government, they sign an agreement for the government, and they give, I don't recall what they call it, but it's a degree of authority of the government over their children and the children's welfare. And so the one thing, like the question we had for Deagle was, are you receiving money from the government for the children? She said the only thing she got was food stamps, and that would not have that binding tie. But if they're receiving other funds, quite often they've already agreed. And whether it's right or wrong, the point is they have agreed by signing it to relinquish a degree of custody to the government, final decisions, basically. And so the first thing to look for is if they received any money from the government, copies of what they've signed, to see if they've signed away their parental rights to the government. And I know it's corrupt of the government to do it, but, when somebody signs a contract, they should read the damn thing and be aware of what they're doing. And, then the question is, do we get behind somebody that has agreed to turn over their parental custody?
Right. Yeah. Those government contracts are so bad that you don't even know what you're doing.
Right. Right. Yeah. The language is... it's easily misinterpreted, and it's purposely represented in such a way as to be confusing. I would definitely look into those issues, whether they had signed that agreement or not, and then you know, I would still do the due diligence to find out what all the facts are, and then I guess we could just make a decision once the all that was put together.
Yeah. All right, I'll do a little more digging and find out.
Yeah, and get copies of any documents the court served on her or anybody served on her regarding the children. The basic information is what you need before you can really start looking into it. One is the money, and two is any court documents or any legal documents they've received regarding the custody of the children.
Right. Yeah, that's when I can get back on Facebook whenever they decide to let me back on.
Yeah, Tim, whatever you get, if you email it to the email address here. And so outside of Burns, I don't have any coverage, and the Hammond Ranch is 60 miles outside of Burns. So very, very little coverage. But when I do get coverage, I can download whatever documents are put out there, and I can review them.
So you're going to the Hammond Ranch?
Not on the ranch particularly, because we have no requests, but near it. The Hammond Ranch is surrounded by public land.
Right. I just.
They haven't reserved it to desert tortoises yet, huh?
Well, it has to do with we have basically the same issue as the Bundy Ranch. The Melier Wildlife Refuge, it started with Theodore Roosevelt and the whole national park system. Apparently, what was uncovered by Susie Hammond was efforts by the federal government they started reacquiring land that they had already dispensed with, forcing people off the land, purchasing it, offering up lucrative offers. A lot of people stayed there until it was just economically impossible to do so. And, of course, the government puts itself as first buyer. So they've been expanding this land for this wildlife refuge, Melier Wildlife Refuge, for quite a long time now. And the Hammonds are one of very few ranchers that are left in the area, kind of just like the Bundys. And once they have that land, then they seal it off again. So, and all of the studies are there to show that the mismanagement of the BLM, that the people being on the land and working it and cattle grazing and all that stuff was highly beneficial. There's been huge migrations of the wildlife away from the Melier Wildlife Refuge because of the lack of people working the land and keeping it up. So it's just another one of those things. Land is power and control, and they're doing it again. So, and as far as
I really
John, what's that?
Oh no, I was just gonna say I really wish that they were willing to take a stand. You know, I do. All of us are. Our thoughts are definitely with you out there, dude. And I don't want you to, you know, I know that you're definitely probably not happy with our approach on things right now. I sense that, obviously, but
It's not that I'm not happy, John, and I don't want you to get. I don't think that, you know. Obviously, maybe my tone sounds that way. It's not that I'm not happy with it, and I understand what you guys are saying. Okay, it has more to do with a sense of duty that I feel, and which is that I don't expect them to make a request if they've been beaten into submission. They're in fear for their lives. And if they're in fear for their lives, they're not going to make a request. And they don't believe that the Patriot community is such that it can remove that fear. So there's no expectation that they would make a request. And so quite honestly, I don't expect them to. But that doesn't mean that I still don't feel a sense of duty to uphold my oath, which is to defend.
Now, what about OMD organizing? Because I feel the same about we haven't had – the Bundy Ranch was great, but looking at the photos and everything, I didn't have the privilege of being there. And I believe when it happened, I was still in the reserves, so I definitely could have gotten in a lot of trouble. But I don't believe that I have seen a good show of force? And what if OMD organized a show of force? Just a, you know, and then there's 1,000 Patriots right there in front of their ranch, just armed, just to show them that we're there, that we support
them.
Yeah,
so that was there in as much as, for instance, you know, a quick anecdote. One of our guys was able to talk to a Metro police officer, which is basically their sheriffs, their county sheriffs. They're from Las Vegas, Metro PD, but they also cover that Mesquite and Bunkerville area. And this particular gentleman was in the very first police car in the Sheriff Gillespie's caravan to come meet and talk to the Mr. Bundy the morning of the unrustling. And this gentleman said that his duty, his task was to see what was there as far as militia and protesters and relay that back to the sheriff's car so that he was aware of what he was coming to. And what he told our guy, and I, you know, of course, the guy that was there, he didn't tell him that he was one of the guys standing on the stage with the Bundys and the sheriff once that happened. But anyway, he told him that as soon as he rounded the corner and saw what was gathered there, that it was the most fear that he had ever been in his life. There were hundreds of militia, which were keeping protection over thousands of protesters. And as far as the standoff itself, the militia presence, so everybody left the protest site to go to where the BLM compound was, where they were holding the cattle. The militia effort was kept, first off, the people that were not in uniforms but had firearms with them were asked to maintain a totally civilian presence amongst the protesters. So quite a few of those protesters that you're seeing in those videos are actually militia guys, but they're purposely there to look like protesters. And
I know, and I've seen it, but I don't think that they I mean the numbers, you know, what was it, 1,000 people there? I just think that it needs to be bigger. It needs to be bigger, and
well, it needs to be a lot bigger. Let's say that there was anywhere between 300 and 500 present, and we know that there was at least 3 because that's what was there initially. There's a lot of people who arrived that morning and were on the freeway running towards the whole thing. So, quite honestly, all of the pictures that I've seen are all from the overpass where there was only a scattered few guys. Most of the guys were either on the front overpass staring directly down at the BLM, or they were on the side where nobody was filming anything. And then there was counter sniper positions put out on the BLM sniper position. So it was a total lockdown, but quite honestly, it was beautiful in the sense that it sure does look like a lot more of a movement of peaceful citizens than it did an actual militia effort. And you know, a lot of the people that were there didn't understand quite the extent of the effort. But the Bundys surely know about it. And a lot of the people that were there for numerous days know, because they got to see the militia coming in and out and all that type of stuff, moving out from this OP to that OP, to all that type of stuff. Anyway, it was there, and it was surely enough that there would not have been much of a fight. And that's essentially why they backed down. Once Metro came in and inserted themselves and told the BLM they had to leave, Ryan Bundy's up on the overpass pointing out where all these militia positions are, saying, you know, this thing's going to get nasty very quickly. And that's when it ended up getting broken up. As far as the Hammond situation, I don't know. I agree. And if a massive presence could be built up, then that is the route that's going to be pursued, quite honestly, except we would like to get a public sentiment, a gauge of the public sentiment first, so that we can get an uprising of the people within that county. And once we have that, then they can make requests, which are going to help legitimize what we do as far as the defense.
Well, keep me posted. I mean, obviously, that's what we already said. Keep us posted on the, as of right now, even if it's not an OMD ordeal, but I hear that, you know, militiamen or troops are planning on heading that way, which is the feeling that I've already been seeing through social media and through other sources, that, you know, I'm probably going to have to head up that way and follow my heart.
Yeah, at this point, you know. Ammon and I have both, the people that we've been talking to, we're going to start it out very low-key. Basically, I'm going in with an initial party to do some fact-finding and some setting up of the ground, you know, getting things to where we can put together a cohesive plan rather than just at this point what's a tentative course of action. And then once that starts to happen, we already have quite a few folks who are on standby for the word that things are in place, and then they will roll in pretty heavily, and we'll see where things go from there.
If I were to come up there the first week of December, what kind of living conditions are you in right now? Like, are you camping, or is there somewhere to stay?
A little bit of both. As far as this first week, it's going to be that gauging of the public sentiment, going around to talking to businesses. We've already done a little bit of that the previous times we've been there, but just going in, getting into restaurants, just talking to people, and then towards.
I know, but if I came up there to help, like that's what I'm. So, you know, where are you going to be staying? Are you staying in a hotel? Are you staying at somebody's house?
Oh yeah,
I came up there to help with that.
Yeah, I stay in the hotel when there's other people that are staying there and they have an extra spot. I have zero funds as far as that goes, so no, I can't. I'll be camping. Initially, when I get down there, I'm going to take a drive straight down to where the ranch is, and I'm going to start getting a lay of the land type of thing and comparing the public access to what's private and just getting that set up. And then that'll probably be Wednesday. And then Thursday through Sunday, I'll spend the rest of the time in Burns. Burns is really the only population center in that county. So all of the effort can be focused there as far as that goes. And once I'm in Burns, I'll either be staying in a hotel or there's people close by that have residences.
Okay. Yeah, just keep us on the loop. We'll stay in contact.
Is there somebody in Burns that could be a kind of a meeting point? You know, where if John goes up there, he can go there and they might know where you are, or you would check back with them when you got in cell range or something?
Not at this point. The closest people like that are about 2 hours away, which isn't all that far, quite honestly, considering that the speed limit is 55 miles an hour in the entire Oregon state. But so they're about 100 miles away are the closest folks.
Well, try to keep us posted. Anytime you can get service or anything, try to keep us posted on your grid or something, you know, or your whereabouts, general area. Day by day, I guess. If it's possible.
Well, and also I'm going to be establishing. Part of what I'm going to do is establish a hard site, so that people coming into the area, it's fairly out of the way, and it's not going to be anybody who's in the know. Excuse me, I got Brian. Anybody who's in the know is going to know why we're there, but. It'll be far enough out of the way that if they can't directly assist with that. And once I have that grid, I'll let you.
Cool.
You know, Ryan, what might be a good thing if you could do it is maybe just gin up a message to the OMD thing, and then whenever you hit civilization, it'll send.
Sure.
That way, if you've got a little dead time, you can do an update, and then, like I said, you hit civilization, kick it out to the box, and the rest of us will try not to bug you, if you know what I mean.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it would be great to have everybody on board. But as far as it goes, we should be able to do whatever we need to do, and then I'll just keep you guys posted enough that you can make a determination whenever you feel you need to.
Cool.
I think that would be a good place to be at. I mean, we've kind of walked around this thing three or four times, and I think that that's a good spot to be at right now for the group.
Well, I think
what else we got?
It's safe to say, at least from where I am, that you have my moral support, but not OMD support, just so that we're clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other issues on the agenda, or is this going to be where we end it?
Well, are we going to plan on having a call next Sunday?
Yeah, I would plan on having one as per normal, you know, and as I can. I'm still going to be looking into the issues, and if you guys run into anything else, then for certain we want to, you know, I'm sitting on the ground, and it would be nice if there was to have part of what's going to bring people there is that there are people on the ground doing things. And so, you know, that's part of my effort is once I get there and get that established, then that there's already so many other people there. They're talking about making their way up there. They just want to know what the lay of the ground is. So if there were somebody else to do that, I would have a lot more time to put into specifically OMB stuff. But handling that task takes up my time. But on the other side of that, I'll still be putting whatever extra time I do have into keeping apprised on OMD stuff.
Okay,
so I'll set up a normal agenda. Everybody send me any comments or things you got to put on it, and we'll plan on doing business as normal.
Sounds good.
Okie dokie.
All right. Well, if there's no more issues, then we'll call that good. Thank you, gentlemen, once again. And if you don't hear from me till next Sunday, then hopefully we make good use of our week.
All right. Later.
Sounds good.